I'll buy some time until we are up and ready. Okay.
You're really bad at buying time.
What are you talking about,
you
Mac?
You could have just kept talking instead of saying, I am buying time now.
Well, no, because I get distracted easily. You know this. Like, if you wanted to signal something to me, I will shut up immediately and just be like, what are you saying?
I forgot to fire up the podcaster.
Yeah.
So everyone listening live, that first 5 minutes of the show, that's lost to time.
Yeah. It's to the wind now.
You heard us describing what we just played, and nobody else got to hear that.
And I mentioned that Austin has America's 7th cleanest tap water.
Oh, see, now there
you go.
Which
I will mention again.
Yeah, that's right. I guess we could just repeat it, but we won't.
Yeah, that's right. Who dat? That's say going to have cleaner tap water than Austin, except for the other six cities.
What are you taking notes?
I am.
About what?
I'm thinking of stuff that I'm writing down stuff that I was thinking of
to say on the show later.
Yes.
Wow, look at you! You're stepping up your game.
I know. I'm trying to.
I don't like it.
I'm a little sloppy today. How are you, Mac?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I slept a lot today.
Really?
Yeah, which is always kind of good. I mean, it's good and it's bad because there's that like I don't want to waste the weekend. But if I had my choice of things to do in this weekend, sleep would be a number one. It's like, man, I want to have a really restful weekend and just not do anything. But then when you do that, when you don't do anything, you're like, man, I wish I could have done something.
Well, that's not...
Why is life so complicated?
That's not all bad. Because actually, as I was telling you, Friday when I was at work, I started to make a list of things that I wanted to do. But, you know, it wasn't like huge tasks. It wasn't like finish that novel. It was just like, it really was just laundry. You know, just throw a load in the wash. That's it. And, like, take out the trash. So I could cross those things off my list and feel like I did something without actually doing anything.
You know, I did something today that I mean to do, and I got a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so weird about getting a haircut. I really like getting a haircut because it feels like I'm pampering myself almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get massages. I don't get mani-pedis, you know? But the haircut, it feels like a luxury. Like, cut my hair, surf! But the bad part about getting a haircut is that you're looking in a mirror for the most of it,
mm-hmm.
or during most of it. And so I'm forced to stare at my own face. And I stare at my own face, and I keep noticing that I'm, like, the most morose person when I'm getting a haircut.
Well, you don't want to, like, smile the whole time because then you look creepy.
Yeah, but I look like I'm sad about it. Like, how would you like your haircut? Oh, blah, make it shorter. And then, you know, like, like, oh, is this not turning out well, sir? Why? Because you look like you're watching your parents pass away. Like, that's how sad you are.
I know. Well, because I used to be the same way when I got my haircut at places. Because, A, I didn't want hair getting in my mouth. So I would have, like, my lips pursed and tight.
That was such a concern for you.
It really was. Because I didn't want to, like, hack on it all weekend. So it was, like, I was very, you know.
Does that happen often when you get your haircut?
Well, like you say, like, hair ends up everywhere. Like, it'll end up in, like, the little under, like, the fold
in
of your elbow
mouth.
And stuff.
All right.
And so I didn't want to be picking hair out
fold
of my
your
tongue.
Elbow?
Yeah, like, inside right here.
You know, they put the sheet over you.
All right, look, fine, whatever. I wore a lot of muscle tees
right.
when I was younger, all right?
Yeah, but you were like, were you like some haircut tough guy? Like, hey, let me put the sheet. No sheet. I don't want a sheet.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care if hair gets on me. I'm tough.
Let me just lotion up with some baby oil so it just slides right off me, the hair.
I'm pretty sure it's going to stick to you. Oh, you tell me how to get my haircut, are you?
Tell me how it is? That's fine. No, but just like the, you know, haircuts, they are luxurious and they are kind of nice and pleasant or whatever. But no, you're getting a job done. Let's just, stone face is fine.
Stone face is fine, I guess, but
It's the like, fact that you're staring at yourself for 30 minutes.
Well, where else am I going to look? Because here's the other thing. I could either stare, I can give the 1,000-yard stare straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I could close my eyes, which is what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, I'm worried that people think I'm into it.
Yeah, that's weird. Don't do that.
Or I can look at the stylist right in the eyes, which I don't like. I'm sure she doesn't like either. Or what I typically would do is I will watch my hair getting cut.
Uh-huh.
But then I worry that... As I'm getting my hair getting cut, and she's like, sees me watching her every move. And she's like, hey, will you just relax?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if while you were doing something, like while you're doing your job at International Tomato,
mm-hmm.
and somebody came and watched you hit every keystroke and make every phone call.
I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah, you'd hate it.
Plain and simple.
I mean, that's granted, I'm sure they're used to it, but I still, I guess, long story short, too late. But I'm weird about haircuts.
As well you should be, because it is a weird experience.
But I like getting them. That's I like getting them a lot.
That's why I do my own, because you know what? I'm in and I'm out. I don't need to engage you in conversation, haircut lady.
This haircut lady, which I'm not going to tell you where I'm getting my haircut, but we're doing a promo for him later in the
is
show.
Is that offensive to call somebody a haircut lady?
They, you know...
I'm not calling them stylist.
I like barbers.
Man, barber's an old.
In fact, I'm gonna start doing that. Like, when I pay the bill, I'm gonna go, "Thank you, barber," and she'll be like, "My name's not Barbara." I'm like, no.
I feel like barber is harkening back to a forgotten age. I feel like unless they have penny whistles at the front where you pay, then you can't call them a barber.
But what if the name of the store is blank barber shop? They're asking for it at that point.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not like Supercuts.
Where are you going to? Is that Lisbon?
Lisbon, Supercuts.
Ah, El San Fantástico.
Hello, America. Welcome to summer 2010. Supercuts. Pew. I feel like it's a German dance show.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Yeah, but I like getting the haircut. I like it. It's so really nice.
That's where that went.
Where did where go?
That story.
Huh?
No, it was a good story.
So how are you, David?
I'm exhausted.
Why are you so tired?
Because I was up until 5:30 in the morning, and I am sick now because of things I did last night. And no offense to you. I love you, Mac. I love this show. But I want nothing greater than to just go home and cry food out of my mouth because I...
Wait, cry food? David, that... Do you mean vomit?
Yes, I do.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I had a rough night last night, and it carried over into today, which means I didn't get anything done today. I woke up at around 9 to take care of some me business, and yeah, my apartment was disheveled, and I have no idea why. It's like, it's almost like I live in like the apartment of Dorian Gray. Like, as I go, so goes the apartment, because I woke up, and like the stuff that was in my pockets last night, like my keys and my wallet, were on the floor. And like my bathroom floor was wet from a shower that I apparently took when I got home, because I was waiting for a cab last night outside in the freezing cold in the 30s. And so when I got home, I was like, my mom told me not to get pneumonia, so I'm going to take the hottest shower in America.
Does that actually help?
It doesn't hurt.
No, touche.
I felt amazing. What I remember of it, because apparently I didn't have a towel, so I just sort of dried myself by rolling on the carpet, as it appeared to me when I woke up this morning.
Before someone calls in, I want to clarify. It's like your apartment is reverse Dorian Gray.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you were getting better, the apartment would be getting worse.
Right. Wait. Okay.
Yeah. Not to spoil
anything.
That's right. He got younger, the portrait aged.
Yes, exactly. So it's a reverse apartment, I guess.
Yeah. You know someone was calling in right now, being like,
oh, you know they were.
I want to correct.
That one guy who likes telling me how it is was going to call in. But yeah, so I didn't really get a lot of sleep. I got maybe, before the cab came where I was, I got maybe like a two-hour nap on a hardwood floor, which is also my favorite Tom Waits song.
But then...
So I'm tired right now. I'm very, very exhausted.
You say I'm not gonna bust your bees over that. What? But that's not the.
No, sorry. Go ahead. It's a it's the show's for everybody. Let's open it up.
All right. Well, you said that I got to a nap on a hardwood floor. Yet when you go home, where did you sleep?
On my floor.
Yeah,
which is carpeted.
Carpeted.
That's and it. I had
that is it.
Okay. Look, yeah, that's fine. I don't have a bed yet. I haven't bought one. I'm going to. It's in my plans. But yeah, there's a difference between a carpeted floor with blankets and sleeping bags that I have laid out to be comfortable.
I didn't know about a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Do you actually sleep on a sleeping bag or do you use that as a blanket?
You don't know my system. I got a system.
Well, we could talk about it right now, which is what we're doing.
Yeah, we are.
Wait, so do you sleep in the sleeping bag on the floor or do you use it just as a blanket?
No, I just use it as a blanket.
Actually, so is there anything between you and the carpet?
Yeah, there's the, you know that Mr. Furley blanket that I have?
No, but I can picture a blanket with my mind.
It's that blue one that my parents bought me a long time ago with the lion on it.
Doesn't have Mr. Furley on it?
No, it's just something Mr. Furley would have in his apartment. Or
I have a blanket. My Mr. Furley.
Yeah, it's awful. So there's
Jack.
There's the blanket base.
That was kind of like Seinfeld.
There's the blanket base. Then there's me. Then there's Big Red, my beloved red blanket. And then there's a sleeping bag on top of that.
I, for a brief second, my mind fancied that you had a waterbed filled with Big Red, which would be delightful.
Well, then I would just be falling into your stereotype there, Mac.
Yep. The Davids love Big Red. Hey, let's play some Muzak.
Yeah, let's do that.
What do you want to hear?
I'm queued up. Let's see.
I would hope you are queued up.
I'm also cute.
Up. I miss Hup.
Oh, Hup, hello, how are you? From the 2009 album I and Love and You, it's the Yvette Brothers, or Yvette Brothers, whichever you want to say, wherever part of the country you're from. It With Want is the song, more Mascot Winning Show right after this. Yes, thank you, announcements, and thank you to the Avett Brothers for that very delicious song, Ill With Want. You're listening to the Mascot Wedding Show. I'm David.
My name is Mac Blake. I said my first and last name. You know why? Brand building.
Is that right? Where's that getting you?
It's getting okay. I feel like more and more I'm being forced to reveal my full name to people, which is my real first name is McLean, for people that didn't know that. And it seems that more and more when I reveal this, I'm getting, oh, cool, like Die Hard. And now I have a go-to joke. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
So you asked me what Mac is short for.
Hey, what's Mac short for?
It's actually short for McLean.
Oh, like Die Hard.
Yeah, I can tell you where the detonators are. That's it. That is my lame go-to joke. David, faces don't read on the radio.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I was waiting for the joke.
No, you jerk.
Or maybe you just, you know what, just play it out. Just be like, hey, have you seen my wife? She's in the Nakatomi Tower.
Yeah.
Come out to the coast. We'll get together. Pew, pew, pew. Pff,
California. Anyway.
That movie's great.
God, I love the movie. They had this, it's like a recurring thing in the Onion EV Club where like they'll talk about the movies, like stop anything or stop what you're doing movies or something. I don't, they phrase it better.
Right.
But it's movies that you will always watch.
Yeah.
And Die Hard, I will not watch it necessarily in its entirety. But if I'm flipping around or if I'm getting ready to do something and Die Hard comes on, I will stop and watch it for at least like 30 minutes to an hour.
It's definitely one of those movies. If it's 5 minutes in or if there's 5 minutes left, I will watch it.
Yeah. Love me some Die Hard. Mm-mm, John McTiernan. He's a good guy.
Man, what happened to him?
Rollerball.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That is what
Basic.
Happened. Hey, folks. I have an open plea, if you will indulge me for a second.
I will.
This is, I'm reaching out to the elderly. Of our fair city, or if you're listening online worldwide at kop.org. 4725667 is the number, by the way.
If you're listening online, I'm not actually in the computer. That's
yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. You know why, old people? Because you don't get it. Step your game up. That's my plea to you, all right? I want to tell you a story real quick. The other day, I went to the post office to take care of some postal business.
makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But I thought the post office closed at 5:30. I got there like 5:10. It had closed at 5. So instead of coming back the next day to do my postal business, I used that handy dandy little post office kiosk with a little touch screen.
The automated postal. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I like that thing.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Could be improved, but I still like it.
It's got its flaws. It's got its faults. But you know what? I was in and out in a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Or rather, I should say I was done with my transaction in a minute and a half. Because here's what happened. Actually, let me start from the start. I walk in, and there's this nice old lady who has her mail, her postal projects, spread out over the kiosk. Like, you know, on the part where you weigh your package and stuff like that, and the console, and the everything. So I don't want to say, hey, lady, you're not using that. Move. I'm just going to assume that she's using it, even though I know better than that. So I'm going to stand behind her in line as I would if she was using it.
Yes.
So I'm standing there for about 15, 20 seconds. And then she turns around. She's like, oh, do you want to use this? And I was like.
I like your old lady voice, by the
way.
Well,
I was working on it all week. And I was like, yeah, I would love to use that if you're not using it. And she's like, oh, no, I was just using it to put stamps on my letters. Which she wasn't, actually. At one point, she actually took a sheet of stamps and put it in the letter, which I don't know what that meant.
I'm mailing stamps. What of it?
I'm meta. I don't know. Whatever. So like she gathered up all of her packages and moved over to another countertop. But she was kind of like eyeballing me the entire time. So I did my transaction. One letter, boom, weighed it, boom, paid for it, and it was done. That was it, and I was walking out. And she said, excuse me, can you show me how to use that? And I was like, oh, sure, I can show you. He's like, oh, because I need to mail it. And then she like read excerpts from her novel about how she didn't know how to use it. And so, like, I had to walk her through every step on the computer screen twice.
Which, by the way, that thing is pretty much dummy-proof.
Exactly! How you are the greatest generation. You beat the Nazis. How can you let technology beat you? All you have to do is just follow the directions on the screen. You know, would you like to use me today? Yes or no? Beep. What would you like to do? Mail, buy stamps, whatever. So, like, she had to, like, sit there and read everything, but then wait for me to help her reading the thing. So, like, you know, the first screen comes up, and it's like, what would you like to do? And she had to ask out loud, so what would I like to do? And I'm like, well, are you mailing a letter? She's like, yes, I am. Okay, so you're going to hit mail a letter. So she hits it. And then, like, you know, there's that one part where it's like, you know, do you have chemicals? Is this illegal? Are you sending fireworks? Which,
that's right, yeah.
Look, I don't want to encourage crime, but who answers yes to that?
Well, yes, it is fireworks. Oh, can't do that. Can't do that.
My perfect plot foiled 7 years down the tubes. Yeah, so like she's sitting there reading everything. And
well, if you're going to make something dummy proof, you're going to have to make something dummy proof.
Exactly. And I'm not calling her a dummy. Like there was this sort of understood agreement beforehand that like she is old and I am young, therefore I have mastered this technology. When I haven't, I just read it 30 seconds before she got there. Like,
you grew up with postal robots.
there's no screen at the very beginning that's like, you know how to use this. Like, you were at that young person's meeting that only young people go to. It's where we taught you how to double click. No, I just read it. And like, but she mails one letter, which took forever and a day. And like, she had to be walked through it like, which postage do I want? Is this too big? And I'm like, well, will it fit on your envelope? And she's like, oh, heavens no. I'm like, well, then get a smaller postage. And so whatever. So she mails one letter out of about a dozen. And so then she starts the second letter. And she repeats the whole process. Like, okay, so what do I want to do here? And I'm like, you want to mail this letter too? Like, I'm already assuming at this point. I'm assuming what she wants to do next.
Uh-huh.
And so then like the same screen came up about fireworks. And she was like, and what is this? And I'm like, do you have fireworks in this letter? Like, no, I don't.
I got a couple of black cats. Some sparklers.
And an M80, but that's for Christmas time. Yeah.
This is the monarch.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Girlfriend. But
Rock Sampson.
And here's the thing. In my head, like, this all started out as this very, like, nice, thoughtful holiday season gesture.
You're like, I'll do this old crone a favor.
Exactly.
I'll toss her some young person knowledge.
But then, like, another gal came in and was waiting behind us in line, and she was giving me the stink eye, even though it wasn't my postal duties. I was helping somebody out.
Uh-huh.
So that's when I bailed. I was like... And I felt bad.
You bailed?
I felt as bad about that as I felt good about the first thing I was doing.
How did you bail? How did that go?
Walked backwards. I really did, like, the old ladies at the kiosk reading the stuff out.
And wow, so you totally just, you didn't say goodbye?
No, I said goodbye. I was like, I think you got it from here. That's what I said. I said, I think you got it from here. And then she was busy with the screen, but then she like turned around half-heartedly at the end. She's like, oh, well, thank you very much, sir. And I was already out the door at that point.
Oh, okay. That's not total bailing.
No, yeah.
You didn't totally just slink away and you're just like, wash my hands of this, run.
I didn't have like my cardboard David ready to put in my place. But yeah, like it... You know, I was driving away and this good thing that I was doing sort of it made me mad. It ended up getting me like upset.
Uh-huh.
Just old people, just learn. It's not that hard.
Spirit of the holidays. You know, I feel like I'm in the like the middle ground between that kind of thing, because you have the newer generation, I feel, which it comes with like a instruction manual. Toss that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you're like, you know, technology, I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Where as I still will mess with things in order to figure it out myself.
Yeah.
But like, oh, let me just mess around with this and I'm sure I'll figure it out. But I still read the instruction book first. I don't know what it is. It's like, oh, there's going to be something hidden in here, or I'm worried I'm going to screw it up. Like, I'll read it and then I'll like throw it away and then I'll mess around with it. But I still read it first. And I feel like that people born after me don't do that.
Yeah. See, I'm sort of in a middle place because I won't read the manual when I get it, but I'll flip through it and find out like, oh, this will be useful later on. I will remember what page it's on, and then I'll sort of toss it aside.
Put it in a filing cap.
Actually, I bought a DVD recorder recently, and I had to pull out the manual the other day because I messed up a recording and broke my dad's heart. So I learned on my own, like a grown ass boy.
Like a grown ass boy. Oh my God! There is this business. That's around town. I think it's, I don't know if it's national or not, but, well, let me back it up a little bit. So I was driving by, a Just Breaks and I noticed that they're opening up a tattoo parlor, like right next to it,
mm-hmm.
Which first of all, like Just Breaks, like, you know, that there's some like rogue person in the, like the boardroom of Just Breaks. It's like, look, we're not going to survive unless we expand to, you know, oil changes, and someone's like, damn it, Just Breaks! Nothing but breaks! Forever! I'll be 6 feet under in the cold ground before we do something else but breaks!
Mr. Breaks, can I throw something out at you real quick?
It better not be about something besides brakes.
Crumple, crumple, crumple. Yeah. My idea of brakes and more.
Damn it, Richards. I'm sick of your ideas. We do brakes here. Like, they really kind of, they kind of screw themselves in that one.
Yeah.
Because like Pizza Hut, for instance, they're selling pasta now, and Domino's has got sandwiches, and there's my favorite store in Austin, Teacher Heaven. And then right underneath it, and it's signed, it says, not just for teachers. Maybe name your store something else, comma, you idiots.
You can't name it Heaven.
Teacher Heaven, comma, not just for teachers.
You're starting like a class war at Teacher Heaven. Like, I'm not allowed in Teacher Heaven.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that sign wasn't cheap. It's not like, oh, okay, so you're going to pay for your giant sign on your business called Teacher Heaven, right? Yeah. All right, we'll throw in, like, whatever, you know, the subtitle of your store is. We'll just put that for free. Really? Then just go ahead and put not just for teachers. Who does that? Pizza Hut, more than just pizza. Name it something else. Radio. But yeah, with just breaks, it's like, hey, do you think there's ever going to be a time when we'll sell something else besides brakes, some other surface? Like, nope, never, never.
Mac, I'm going to throw something out at you real quick, and I don't mean to interrupt.
Toss it.
I don't know if you know this, but Burlington Coat Factory is more than great coats.
Okay, but they didn't name it just Coat Factory.
Just coats in here.
Burlington Coat Factory only.
where I got my gloves.
Yeah. Screw off, glove lovers. But anyway, in the same building, I didn't even know there was room for a separate store. They're opening another tattoo parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And parlor? Studio? Whatever.
Parlor. Tattoo.
Yeah. And man, it seems like if there's a new business opening, not in a strip mall, chances, it's like, I feel like one out of every three times it's going to be a tattoo parlor.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, I seriously kind of want to do the math. Like, I'd like to go in and be like, how many tattoos do you have to get a week in order to stay afloat? And then, like, find the number of tattoo parlors, multiply that, and then see how many people, in theory, the Austin tattoo industry is expecting to get tattoos on a weekly basis.
Right.
Like, we have 500 people getting tattoos a week in Austin, like, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like they would need that. It just kind of, it like blows my mind a little bit.
It's a little insane, yeah. And where was this like 10 years, or not even 10 years ago, like 15 years ago? Because, I mean, tattoos were for Marines and bikers. Now everybody's got a tattoo. I'm holding out.
I was going to ask you, David, would you ever get a tattoo?
I thought about when I was younger and stupider.
What were you thinking about getting?
A longhorn.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking of getting a stylized SA because I'm from San Antonio.
Okay, that's kind
of. But now I won't get that now.
Yeah.
Like, me and my friend were also from San Antonio. Give him a shout out, even though he's not listening, Raul.
Oh.
But yeah, that's not going to happen. Although I'm leaving some possibility for something. What if I died, David?
Mm-hmm.
Would you get a tattoo of Mac?
No.
You wouldn't get my name on your shoulder?
You know what I do? I get a shirt of you.
Shirt of me?
Yeah. And I wear it pretty regularly because then people would say, hey, that shirt indicates that David likes Mac and misses him terribly.
I'm almost at this point waiting for a close friend to die so I can get a tattoo of their name.
No. Am I going to get your name or your face?
You get my name.
Okay.
You can lie and tell people you like those computers or you went to McCallum High School if you want to.
Why would I get... Here's the thing, though. Like, look, we're reaching that point in history where a lot of people are going to die. I'm not going to get all my friends' names on there.
I'm not talking about when it's my time. But right now, if I got into a car accident, you wouldn't get my name tattooed in your arm.
No, I'd hold a vigil.
What?
No, I'd get a shirt. Really nice shirt.
God. I'd get your name tattooed on my arm.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say David. And people like, who's David? And I'd be like, there's my broseph. God took him too soon. Crushed his Ford Escort.
So
T-boned a semi.
So he's still alive. He just isn't here.
No, you're dead. What part of that made you thought you were still alive?
I thought just my escort got crushed.
You're inside of it, idiot.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that.
Hold on. I missed the point where you could survive a crushing.
Well, I didn't think I was in the car.
Well, why did I mention it?
I just thought you were doing some dumb thing about getting a tattoo.
So I get it. Okay, well, hold on. So your car gets crushed.
Yes.
You're not in it.
I'm not in it.
So A, who it? Cares? B, I get a tattoo.
That's why tattoos are dumb. Thank you.
You're stupid. You're an idiot. You're a bad listener, too.
What?
Oh, boo.
Yay.
Thanks, Abaddon. Costello. But yeah, no, you wouldn't get one. I'm telling you right now, this is my pre-death wish.
You're not going to pressure me into getting a tattoo.
Here's what I want.
All right.
You're going to feel so guilty about this.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get a tattoo of my name,
mm-hmm.
and like some cool font.
Okay.
Not just like, you know, black ink.
Yeah.
Something cool like, not like the Star Wars font. Don't do that. That would be ultimate disgrace.
Yeah, I should hope not.
Yeah,
that I'll get a nice Helvetica.
Maybe like the Superman font. Oh, it's like 3D.
No, that's not happening.
Like it's coming out.
Maybe like...
What about X-Men where it's kind of like on a curve?
No, because it's the same as... It's... No.
You won't have to draw the 3D parts.
Let me think. What's a good font I can get for you? I'll put a brain on it.
Yeah, but make it 3D. Make it coming out.
What about like the Twilight Zone font?
Nah, I kind of want a 3D for my name.
Really? Yeah. No, you're asking a lot of me.
Well, dude, here's the thing. If I die tomorrow, you're gonna be guilted into getting it. You're gonna have to.
You know what? That's the only way I would get it is if you died tomorrow. Okay, I don't want to go down this path. I don't want you rooting for your own death so I could get a tattoo.
Let's be honest. I've been rooting for my death for a while now.
Yeah, you have.
I know.
And it shows.
The way I've been living.
Hard.
It's a real rooting for your death weekend here on Co-op Summit Saturday.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Tiger Woods in 2 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to talk too much about this because I'm sure everyone's bored to death by Tiger Woods and this whole stupid story about him. And I have to say two things that I keep that are very weird. One is that the media, they're like, when's Tiger going to issue a public apology? He doesn't have to apologize to us.
Absolutely not.
That's like this weird thing like, he needs to apologize to me. It's like, why? What did he do to you? But the other surprising thing about this is, why was I surprised by it?
Yeah, that's true too. You know
what? That needs to be a recurring segment of the show because I feel like that happens a lot. I'm like, Tiger Woods cheats. What? Oh, okay. He's a rich and probably the most powerful athlete in this country.
I thought for sure he would just stay true to his wife.
Yes.
It's weird that he didn't. The thing I don't like about the whole coverage is that it's being assumed that I want this. Like, in fact, some outlets, like, I listen to sports talk radio at night to help me sleep. And, like, one of the loudmouths on there is like, the only reason I'm covering this is because you want it. I'm like, I don't want this. If you stop covering this tomorrow, I wouldn't care less.
Yeah, and part of me is like, can we get back to, I mean, sports talk, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst.
It's pretty bad. And the worst part about this is, I have to admit, now that he's missing golf because of this, it is a legitimate sports
story. It's a sports story now, yeah.
Yeah. Because for a while I was like, you know, at the very beginning of the story, they were like, will Tiger Woods be a better golfer after this? I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
Here's the thing. He was a plenty good golfer while this was going on.
Yeah, keep
it
up.
I imagine he would be tired at least, but no. He's skins on the wall.
And something else about it, though, with Tiger Woods. Oh, I'm glad. I mean, I'm trying to listen to sports talk. It's really when I'm just really bored. But I'm really glad I missed these calls because I know they're going on. Like, bring, hey, you're on with the Sports Moose. And then the guy will be like, oh, man, why are those ladies C-blocking Tiger? Those ladies need to shut up.
Yeah, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Guess what? I do hate the game of golf.
Aww.
It's boring.
It's fun.
Yeah, but dude, golf, when he had his injury, ratings were down 50%.
Yeah.
Good luck, golf.
I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, golf. Anyway, there's actually more we could talk about that, but who cares?
Yeah.
Really, who cares?
I'm full. I'm full of Tiger.
Kind
of
sick of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, this. I don't know if I'm qualified to speak on this. That wife of his, she needs to leave him or shut up.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Yes.
Because, I don't know. You don't like this behavior? Then
leave him.
Yeah, leave him. Because this whole thing like, he's going to change or whatever. It's like, oh, why? Because he got caught.
Yeah. Which I guess. I don't know.
You don't like
good luck rolling the dice on that one.
And you know, like I'm the last person in the world to give advice to anyone because I'm an idiot.
I know.
And I feel like I'm a little overstepping the bounds of the show by saying stuff like that. But that's just how I feel.
That was probably the most controversial stance we've taken in a long time.
His wife needs to leave him. If she doesn't like it, leave him.
Yeah.
If she stays with him, then at some point she's okay with it.
I'm on board with that. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Let's hear some music and then I'll shut up. What are we going to hear?
Cool. Is this me? Okay.
Yep.
From the Head soundtrack, it's the Monkees.
From the Head soundtrack?
Yeah.
You mean that MTV cartoon where the head opened up and a monster was inside?
Sure, why not?
If you say so. More Masked Opening Show after this. And we are back. More Mascot Wedding Show. Looks like we got a phone call finally. Jeepers. KOOP, you are on the air.
Mac?
This is Mac, yeah.
Hey, it's Teddy.
Hey, Teddy, what's on your mind? What can I do for you?
I was just calling you because you said your radio show was on at this time and that I should call in.
Oh, is this Teddy Masterberg?
Yeah. Is this a bad time? I can call back another time if you want.
No, this is fine. This is great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let me just take a second to explain who you are for everybody listening and why I'm excited to have you on.
Thanks. That's nice of you to say.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We are talking right now to Teddy Masterberg. Mm-hmm. Although, I guess, do you still go by that? Do people still call you Teddy?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, because I only know you as Teddy.
Uh-huh.
And I should say that the reason I know you as Teddy is because you and I went to school together.
That's right. I guess I've known you since my family moved down from Wyoming. So we were in seventh grade that year, and that's when I met you.
That's right. We were both in track, and we were also in choir.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was sort of that way all throughout middle school. And then in high school, you know, we sort of drifted apart.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's not like we became bitter enemies or anything, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just we, of course not, but you know, high school, sometimes you just sort of.
Yeah, we were on different paths. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's a great way to put it. Because you stuck with track and choir all throughout high school, and I sort of lost interest, you know, and I sort of dropped out of those things to concentrate on my magic.
That's right. How's that going, by the way? Are you still doing magic?
I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm sorry.
But you, on the other hand, you were like BMOC, big man on campus.
I don't know about that. I don't know if you can ever really say that about anyone who's in track and choir, you know?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, I don't know if there are many people who did more with their time in high school. Okay. You were like an all-state track star in, well, I forget what the, what was it?
I was on the relay teams. We were back-to-back champs in the 4x400.
That's right.
And we actually set the state record at the time in the 4x100.
Yeah, and then in choir, you were like this amazing singer.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, didn't you get to sing for the president one year?
I did in 1997. We got to go to the White House and sing for President Clinton during one of his state dinners.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if it was awesome.
I do know. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny to look back on those days sometimes, like especially in high school, you know. And there might have been some moments or like experiences that you might have thought really lame at the time, you know. But the older you get, the more you realize how special that time was.
Well, that's a really nice way of thinking about it.
No, thanks.
So what types of things were you reflecting on?
Oh, well, no, not me. I mean, I'm talking about people who actually accomplished things in high school.
Oh, you did some stuff in high school.
No, I really didn't.
Sure you did. Like, what was the name of that musical you were in?
I don't really want to talk about that.
Okay, I'm sorry. You keep a lot of secrets from your listeners, don't you?
Well, they don't deserve all of me.
Okay.
But this is all in the past. Let's get back about 10 years to this past weekend.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Okay, because that's how long it's been. I haven't seen you in about 10 years.
Since high school, yeah.
And I should mention again that right now we have on the phone Teddy Masterberg.
Mm-hmm.
And I will now get to why we're talking about you. Last weekend, I was at the Sunken Valley Book Fair.
That's right, at the Sunken Valley Convention Hangar, yeah.
That's right. And while I was there, to my total surprise, I saw you there at a table signing copies of a book you wrote.
I sure was.
You, sir, are a published author.
Yes, yeah.
Published author on the phone, Teddy Masterberg. Let me just say congratulations. I think that is so awesome. And you have no idea how impressed I am that you're able to do something like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And the name of your book is?
The name of the book is Climbing Out of the Hole.
And why don't you tell us what it's about?
You mean you don't know what it's about?
Well, I bought a copy, and I have every intention of reading it, but this week has been, like, real busy, you know?
I'm kidding. I'm just really happy to see you and that you bought a copy.
Oh, and I will read it. I just didn't expect you to call so soon.
I know. It's okay. Well, I guess I should backtrack a little to really get a sense of the whole story. I guess you don't know that after high school, I moved out to Los Angeles, and I've been living there ever since.
No, I did not know that. So you went to L.A.?
Yeah, I went to L.A. right out of high school and did what everyone does when they go out to L.A. I waited tables, and I worked at The Gap, and I was in and out of bands.
Sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was doing this off and on here and there for a few years. And then a couple years ago, in about, I guess, April of 2007, I was in a band, and we were playing a show, and this production guy takes me aside after the show and says he really likes my vibe and my attitude and wants to know if I want to be in a reality show.
Really?
Yeah, that was my reaction. Exactly. And so, you know, of course I'm ecstatic. Like, you know, this might be my big opportunity.
Of course. And, you know, can you say what the show was?
Oh, really? Really? You're going to make me say it?
Oh, I mean, if you don't want to, or if you can't, then you don't have to. But I really don't. I don't know anything about this. It's like I said, I saw you the day for the first time in forever, and I bought the book, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so this is all literally brand new to me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let me say that I was told at the time that I would be in this competition show where a bunch of entertainers live in a house together and try to see who would become, like, the next shining star. That was the name of the show, The Next Shining Star.
Huh, I've never heard of that show.
Well, that's because that's the show they told me I was going to be on. What happened was they were actually playing a trick on the contestants, and we ended up on a completely different show.
And what kind of show did you end up on?
I don't really know if I can say it on the radio, but I'm just going to clean it up and say I ended up on a show called BH Academy.
Really?
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, BH. I know exactly what you're trying to say.
The H stands for hole.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what it means.
Okay.
So let me get this straight. You were on BH Academy.
Yes, the very first season.
As a contestant.
Yes. I was the very first contestant voted off, too, which I think, in a way, is kind of a good thing.
Yeah, the sooner you get off of BH Academy, the better.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me straighten this out for a second, because I don't really watch the show. I've only seen parts of it, and I know a little bit about it. BH Academy is a show where a bunch of, like, lowlives live in a house together and basically get, like, drunk and fight all the time.
Yeah, that's sort of what I got from it, too.
And really, these are just, like, some despicable human beings on the show. So the problem I'm having right now is, like, I know you as this incredibly nice guy. Mm-hmm. You're always very quiet and very talented. I'm just having a real hard time imagining how you even ended up on a show like that.
Well, I've got some idea, I think. You see, the production guy for the show saw me when I was with my band. And when I'm with my band, I sort of put on, like, this persona, like, you know, like a stage presence.
Okay.
Yeah, and when I'm on stage, I'm this really, like, brash and, I guess, like, foul-mouthed jerk.
Really? You know, I wouldn't have guessed that you would have done something like that.
Well, you know, it's a nice release. I mean, I basically get to play dress-up every night.
All right. What's the name of your band?
The name of my band is Third Leg.
Oh, that's kind of cute. It's like a little reference to your track and field days when you used to run relay, like you were the third leg.
No, it is not a reference to my track and field days.
Oh.
Yeah,
well, that's kind of, that is like an in-your-face name, kind of.
Yeah, well, everything with the band is pretty in-your-face. I mean, we didn't want to be like everyone else, so we just decided to be like these really arrogant creeps.
Well, mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so let me ask you something. Earlier when I asked if you still go by Teddy Masterberg, you kind of hesitated.
I go by Teabag now.
I see.
And I won't tell you what I changed my last name to.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all for show. You know, it's like I said.
I get that. I guess I'm having a hard time picturing this really, like, nice and talented guy having to resort to such tactics.
Well, I mean, I don't have to. I choose to. I mean, it's not all bad. I mean, I'm pretty happy with where I am now, and I wouldn't have gotten here if it wasn't for Teabag.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're happy and you're doing something you love, you know, more power to you. I mean, I'd kill to be able to write a book.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm really proud of it, too. I think it's a great story on its own, and I think it's a great sort of precautionary tale for someone wanting to become famous. It sort of says, you know, okay, you can be famous, but you have to be ready to be called some of the worst names ever and just be completely demonized in the media, and you have to be ready for the death threat.
Hold on a second here. Death threats? Why were you getting death threats?
Well, once I sort of became infamous, it all snowballed from there.
All right, but you see, you're sort of like leaving out a piece of the... Maybe there's a piece of the puzzle seems to be missing here. I have no idea why you'd be considered, like, infamous. Like, it doesn't seem like BH Academy would be enough to propel you.
Really? You don't watch the entertainment channels at all?
Nope.
You don't watch the Crunch Network at all?
I try really hard not to.
Oh, wow. Okay, I really need to catch you up.
Oh, please do.
Okay, well, like I said, I was the first person kicked off of my season of BH Academy.
Right.
And, well, I guess if you need to be told that, you should also know that I kind of suffer from blackouts.
Okay, I really don't get the correlation there. I mean, is this like a medical type thing, or is it like alcohol related?
It's kind of rage related.
Okay, wait a second. So you mean you'll get upset and just lose consciousness?
Well, yes and no. know, because apparently I just sort of lose control of myself. Like, I'm still awake and communicating, but I just don't remember any of it.
That sounds horrible.
Well, I've gotten used to it. You know, I mean, the hardest part is waking up and finding, like, your hand is broken or you're in county.
You've woken up in the hospital.
I've woken up in jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a real eye-opener.
So I'm assuming you had one of those blackouts on the show. Is that why you got kicked off?
Yes, yeah.
Wow. Do you know what you did to get kicked off? I mean, did you watch the episode? Did anyone tell you?
I beat up a basketball player.
Okay. I still don't see why that's such like an infamy kind of big deal. Was it like a famous basketball player you beat up?
What do you mean by famous?
Well, was it someone that I might have heard of?
I doubt it.
Well, you know, I follow basketball. Maybe I do. What does he play for? Or who does he play for?
Palo Vista Middle School.
So he's not so much a basketball player as he is a child.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you beat up a middle schooler?
Well, he was messing with my bottom line.
What does that mean?
It means I gave him a certain amount of product, and at the end of the day, he came up short.
Hold on. When you say product, you mean...
I mean cocaine.
Okay, and so why... So you have a middle school kid selling cocaine for you.
And some H.
You have him selling heroin, too.
No, horse tranquilizers.
That's not what H means. You know, never mind. You beat up a kid selling drugs for you. That's horrible. That is just so great. I can't even tell. It
felt great.
Yeah, I was being facetious. That's horrible, all right? And how would you even know how it felt great if you were in the middle of this blackout?
I don't.
Okay, yeah, that is just great. This conversation is over. This is what I get, you know? Now I have an idea why I never kept in touch with you.
Oh, come on, don't be that way.
I'll be any way I want.
Oh, hey, I just sent you something.
What did you send me?
A friend request on Facebook. If you click yes, I can see your page.
I'm not accepting your friend request. In fact, lose my number, all right? Never call me again.
Ah, come on, you're making me mad.
Well, I don't care. Go be mad, but stay far away from me.
Uh-oh, it's happening again.
What's happening again? All right, bye. Wow, creepy and awesome. Hey, folks, we were up against it. That was an awesome way to end the show. I didn't know that was going to turn out so bad. For more information about David and myself and podcasts, yada, yada, you may visit maskowing.com. Stay tuned for the clear spot here on Co-op Summit Saturday. Goodbye, Austin. We're going to leave you with a very short song, Royal Bangs, B&E, off of their album Let It Bleep. See you next week.